Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY26 conference call hosted by EHC India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Kasturi Basu from MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On today's call, we have the management team comprising Mr. Umesh Sahai, Chairman and MD, Mr. Nikhil Bhutta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Uday Vora, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Aman Gupta, Company Secretary. Before we proceed, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For additional details, please refer to the investor presentation and other filings, which can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Umesh Sahai for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kasturi. Ladies and gentlemen and fellow shareholders, I welcome you to today's call to discuss the Quarter 1 Financial Year 2026 result. We have embarked on the new financial year with an encouraging set of results, which set us up for a strong showing for the rest of the year. Our effort at offering comprehensive service as a real estate as a service company are bearing fruit. In fact, we continue to build on the strong base which we established during Financial Year 2025. I would like to begin by providing highlights on our exceptional performance during this quarter. Revenue grew 15% year-on-year to reach 220 crores rupees, and net profit rose by 196% year-on-year to Indian rupees 47 crores. The performance clearly indicates our strong execution on the strategic goal which we have set out to achieve. Our momentum continues to be driven by our robust operating model, skilled workforce, and commitment to customers. On the operational front, we have managed to expand our capability and reach across all our segments over the year. Our balance sheet remains strong, giving us both resilience and the flexibility to invest confidently in innovation and sustainable growth initiatives. We remain focused on maximizing long-term shareholder value while pursuing future opportunities from a position of strength. We operate in a dynamic and competitive market where we are prepared to lead with our strategic vision, robust execution framework, innovation, and accountability. We believe these qualities position us equally to shape the transformation of the sector as a real estate service provider. I thank all our stakeholders for the best point their trust in us. We look forward to your continued and unwavering support, which I am certain will help us drive the company toward strong growth. Thank you. Kasturi.
Thank you, Mr. Bhutta, for his comments.
Thank you, Kasturi. Good evening and welcome, everyone. For the benefit of everyone, let me first walk you through our company, EHC's differentiated business model, built on the managed office solution, design and build vertical, and the furniture manufacturing vertical. These are three integrated yet independent business verticals that enable us to offer a unique value proposition through our comprehensive real estate solutions. We operate as a real estate as a service company by providing customized workspaces, commercial interior design, and manufacturing of premium furniture products. Each of these verticals is an important cog in the wheel for us in our effort to offer a complete ecosystem to our customers. Under the managed office space, we manage 3 million sq ft at 82 sites across 10 cities. In terms of sectors, the vertical primarily caters to the ITES, financial, hospitality, and retail segments. We expanded our seat portfolio to about 63,389 at the end of Q1 FY26 from just over 60,000 at the end of FY25. Our sites are strategically located and offer convenience and accessibility to our customers. Our average occupancy during the quarter was 90% plus, reflecting the large client base and the long-term contracts that which we have in place. In Q1 FY26, the segment contributed 56% to our revenue and 64% to our PBT, profit before tax. For design and build revision, we provide end-to-end interior solutions and turnkey contracting from concept to execution, creating aesthetically striking and functionally optimized office spaces. Our services include general contracting, project management, design and build, and MEP services. This segment accounted for around 39% of Q1 FY26 revenue and 34% of our profit before tax for the Q1 FY26. At the end of the Q1 FY26, we had an order book of INR 115 crores and we had designed more than 5.2 lakhs square feet of space since the last quarter. In June 2025, we were awarded two additional passport Seva Kendra projects, which includes comprehensive in-situ turnkey fit-outs carried out under a design and build model. We are proud to be entrusted with the passport Seva Kendra projects in Hyderabad under our existing rate contracts. Separately, the completion of Ahmedabad Passport Seva Kendra is a testament to our team's commitment and executional excellence. We remain focused on delivering high-quality, innovative solution on time and with consistency. Towards the end of the quarter, we announced an interior fit-out contract valued at INR 100 crores. This contract is on track to be completed within 90 days. And is a strong endorsement of our execution capability and trust our client place in us. We remain committed to delivering world-class infrastructure with consistency, quality, and innovation. Coming to the furniture division, we manufacture custom and ready-made high-quality furniture. Our manufacturing capacity stood at approximately around 25 to 300 crore Indian rupees. And the order book at the end of this quarter, the Q1 FY26, was more than INR 22 crores. This segment accounted for just about 5.8% of Q1 FY26 revenue and about 2.3% of our profit before tax. I would like to bring to your attention that we started this vertical in September 2024 and is still in its, you know, in the initial stages. Hence, we see substantial growth potential in this division, especially given that most of the capital expenditure for the division has already been incurred. In case we gain scale here, we have sufficient land in our Pune plant and our capacity. These factors position us favorably to scale operations swiftly at the furniture division and drive sustained expansion with greater efficiency and profitability. As discussed in past, we have a strategy to own or control assets through strategic resources and structures. We believe this strategy will help us monetize or leverage the potential value of such assets and will bring significant benefits to our customers and stakeholders. We are committed to ensuring a smooth and compliant integration process. We are also open to acquiring properties which provide us with strong visibility with respect to the leasing to customers on an ongoing basis, and where we see strong potential going forward. Financial structures such as REITs, AIF enable us to expand our assets under management from an ownership perspective, directly or indirectly. In summary, we truly believe that we are well positioned to deliver strong shareholder value on the back of our integrated business model strategy. I thank you all for continued support and faith in us. We remain committed to performing and delivering in the best interest of our stakeholders. Thank you so much and a good evening. Pasturi, please.
Thank you, sir. I now hand over the call to Mr. Uday Vora for his comments.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. I am delighted to present the financial highlights of EFC India Limited for Quarter 1, Financial Year 2026. The consolidated revenue from operation was 220 crores, a 115% year-on-year increase from 102 crores in the previous year. Our strong revenue growth was reflective of robust demand across all verticals. The rental segment contributed about 56%, the design and build contributed about 39%, and furniture segment contributed to about 6%. The consolidated EBITDA reached 102 crores, implying a corresponding margin of 120%. While our profit before tax was 66 crores, PAT jumped by about 196% to reach 47 crores compared to 16 crores in Q1 FY25. The stellar jump in top-line growth followed by strong operating leverage resulted in EBITDA and PAT margins jumping by 110 and 580 basis points respectively. We are positioned well to generate robust growth across all our businesses, optimize capital deployment, and leverage synergies across our constantly expanding portfolio. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to our board of directors, dedicated employees, valued investors, and trusted partners for their unwavering support and belief in our vision. Your continued confidence in EFC India Limited is the foundation of our progress. As we move forward, we remain firmly committed to delivering consistent, sustainable performance and creating long-term value. The path ahead holds exciting opportunities, and we are energized by the prospects that lie before us. Thank you once again for being an integral part of this journey. With that, I would now request the moderator to open the call for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Mishra from SVK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. I would like to ask, as you have grown your design and build business significantly in last year, how does EFC's integrated model position is completely in a market which is very much fluttered by pure play D&B or rental firms?
Mr. Mishra, I mean, we are, independently, kind of building our skill sets and also consolidate our position in the design and building sector. And certainly, when we go in the market and, compete with our peers, obviously, we will have to create those differentiators, and then only we'll be able to kind of, establish ourselves and win more contracts. You could see probably from the performance of our company, beginning 23, 24, and even this financial year, that we have been, continuously been able to, kind of grow at a, pace of more than 75-80%. And that's what we strongly believe that we'll be able to do with the help of a strong team that we have built up, a strong management network that is helping us to kind of win more contracts. And most importantly, our skill sets and our ability to perform these contracts on a absolute, timely basis, which is really creating some differentiator for us. So I think we will have to compete undoubtedly, because, if you're operating in a particular segment, you'll have to compare with your peers who are in this segment. But we have created already a position for ourselves where, we are in a position to receive contract, to get awarded a contract worth rupees, 25 crore, 50 crore, 100 crore. And as you have also noticed, which we have received a contract worth 183 crore. So these are the situations are making our positions quite stronger, and we believe that we'll be able to compete fairly well with our peers and establish ourselves and retain our market share and grow our market share going forward.
I understand. And in continuation of the same question, what's EFC's perspective on competitors? Now we see that several of your competitors are also market listed. And they are also implementing these integration strategies. How does it plan to, how does EFC plan to maintain the competitive edge?
I mean, at the outset, I'd like to say that it is, again, as I said, it's a kind of revalidating our chairman, our MD's vision of kind of creating an integrated model way before, you know, anybody really thought about in the co-working or the managed space, that if we need to build a sustainable business, we need to create an integrated, comprehensive business model. And, you know, that obviously, and another additional and important aspect is, you know, our entire management and the key team who's been with the company for a long period of time have gained this expertise over a period. And, you know, this is about a decade of hard work where they've got a lot of learnings, whether it is in the managed office space, whether it is in the design and build sector, because in earlier we were anyway designing those spaces for our own requirements. So the skill sets, the learnings are already there. And the management and the key team has been, you know, kind of have done it this grounds up, you know. So it's not a situation where now we have resources, so we are deploying these resources by hiring manpower or hiring partners or kind of, you know, hiring any infrastructure and getting this new verticals implemented. It is the skill set, it is a learning, it is that base ground level working which is helping us to create that differentiator. And we are also today have come to a stage where, you know, being an early mover in this, our industry at least, you know, we'll be able to kind of maintain that competitiveness because we have already established ourselves in all these verticals before our peers kind of start competing with us. So, I mean, certainly we'll have that advantage. And most importantly, as I said, the advantage of being somebody having a learning and the skill set for over a decade, that is also additionally putting us into a little differentiated position.
Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Chawlani from Future Edge. Please go ahead.
Congratulations first to EFC and team.
Thank you.
My question is, the share of our three different verticals that we have, do we see any change in that going forward in the coming quarters? And also a follow-on question to that is, what is our exact roadmap to grow each of these verticals? What are our growth plans in each of these verticals?
So with regards to change in the, you know, the contribution of each vertical, you know, we've been very clear about it that all this vertical have a different, they operate under a different business dynamics. You know, the leasing vertical operates where, you know, the growth is pretty linear because it is directly correlated to the number of seats that we add and the price that we are able to, you know, kind of average revenue per seat that we are able to maintain. On the other hand, both the design and build vertical and the furniture vertical, both is subject to getting, you know, good and consistent contracts from different customers. And hence the growth potentials are quite enormous in these two particular verticals. And then there is always a possibility that, you know, this both this vertical design and build and the furniture vertical may start contributing reasonable and substantial revenue to the overall kitty. As we all know that at least in the present days, we are maintaining about 55% to 60% contribution from our leasing vertical. And obviously going forward for at least a reasonable period of time, it will remain as our significant contributor. But I mean, it is, you know, I mean, it is time to, you know, we can all kind of easily see the way that we are getting businesses, way that we are expanding our, you know, strength in both this vertical, whether in design and build and furniture, I'm sure they will also start contributing equally substantially to the overall kitty. And we are more than happy as long as this entire business model that we have created, which is real estate as a service, if it contributes from either of the vertical, but it contributes in creating further value, that is certainly a welcome step for all of us. And our efforts are equally aligned in growing all the three verticals. Because there is a separate team for each of the verticals. All the teams have their own targets on, all the teams have their own performance metrics is defined. And hence, everybody is geared up with the available resources, skill sets, and the learnings. So, I mean, we are very, you know, optimistic that all these verticals will perform really well and would contribute probably going forward equally or, I mean, if not equally, but certainly substantially to the overall kitty.
Got it, Nikhil sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I have two questions regarding the office rental division. So the first one being regarding our seat addition of 25,000 seats for the next 2 years. Do we see any upside regarding this target? Do we see us ending, what is the probability of us adding more than 50,000 seats for the next 2 years? And secondly, what is the capex amount that we are going to incur in FY26 and FY27, considering that, you know, it's an asset-light model and the landlord is paying 90% full. So we could quantify the capex amount.
Yeah, I mean, with regards to the, you know, number of seat addition, we can talk about the current financial year as we have always maintained that we are targeting to add anything around 20,000-25,000 seats. Ayush, we can certainly, as you know, that, you know, adding seats is not a limitation, but, you know, the most important aspect is to ensure that we maintain the occupancy level at 90% plus. Because, you know, if we are not able to do that, and then we are not able to kind of maintain the kind of profitability margins that we generally try to maintain. So I think for the current financial year, for sure, we are looking at a situation where we are not looking beyond a situation of doing anything between 20,000 to 25,000 seats addition organically. And in terms of capex, you know, as we have mentioned, that generally, you know, and on an average, about 90% of our all seat additions are you know, done with the help of capex being incurred by the landlord towards fit out related expenses. So that fit out related expenses are taken care of by the landlord only. Our kind of contribution in the leasing division largely come to the fact that, you know, we need to, you know, kind of block certain properties in specific areas and give them advances way ahead of the time that we need to kind of take really possession of the property. Secondly, once we take the possession of the property, and then by the time the property gets developed and it gets fully operational and it starts generating revenue, till such time we need to obviously fund the certain working capital related or pre-operational related expenses. And, you know, these are the kind of investments that we probably have to make, which is obviously a reasonable amount, but certainly it is not an amount that one can say that we have to invest as equal to probably how much we have to invest for the furniture fit out. So on an average, if I may say that, you know, let's say if I'm adding 25,000 seats, 25,000 into, you know, about, you know, what we're probably looking at is about total investment of 125 crore rupees, out of which only 10%, which is about 12.5 crore rupees worth of furniture that we may have to invest in for. And then there is obviously about anything between 10 to 15 crores of capital that may get blocked either, like I said, for the deposits or for, you know, additional requirements in terms of, you know, the pre-operational and working capital related expenditure till the time the site become operational. Now, you know, our commitment towards blocking the properties may require some more capital depending upon how and which, but that is little more opportunity based. But on an average, if I have to tell you, then this is the kind of capital that we may need to deploy for a particular year, and particularly we are talking about this financial year, but then that is the kind of capital that we need to deploy and which we are able to deploy out of our available internal resources.
So that would be like in the range of around 20 to 25 crores for FY26?
On an average, yes. Like I said, subject to the opportunities, otherwise that's the kind of average numbers that we look at in terms of capex.
Okay, thank you. That is it. And also for the DLG division, do you see us improving our margins from our guided range? And what would be the expected order inflow for FY26?
You saying that we'll be able to maintain the margin, you ask?
No, I mean, is any possibility of us improving the margins in the DLG division, like north of 20-23%? And what would be expected order book inflow, like order book inflow for FY26?
For FY26, right now, I won't be able to commit to you for the entire financial year. But, you know, like we have mentioned in the presentation also, which is uploaded, that in the first financial first quarter, before beginning of the first quarter, we had order book of about 200 crore plus, and now additionally we have got another order book of about 110 crore or so. So that's the order book which is in hand. You know, we were probably able to, you know, kind of commit the more precise numbers for this financial year going in the coming, you know, coming quarters. But right now, that is the order book which we have already won and which we are already executing. So that's on the order book side. In terms of margins, you know, it quite significantly depend upon the type of projects. Because, you know, if it is a very standard, typical office infrastructure project, the margin would be lesser. If it's a project where only, you know, there is no design involved, but only build part of the contract is to be carried out, then also the margins would be lesser. But if the contract is a comprehensive design and build contract, then the margin would be higher because, you know, for the design services, we have our manpower, which we are anyway paying to them for the services. So I don't need to really outsource those activities and my margins will be much better for those design services or for certain kind of contracts where certain specific set of skill sets are required and which we possess, then we'll be able to kind of, you know, offer, I mean, I'll be able to charge a better price and hence derive better margins. So margin profile will certainly change project to project, transaction to transaction. But on an average, like I said, if it's a traditional, standard office infrastructure kind of project, we'll retain the margin that is about 15-18% that we what we earn. If it is a non-standard, non-routine kind of work, it will be anything between 18-22%. And if it is design and build and works contract both put together, then again the margin could also add increase further by a couple of percentages depending again upon the project. So that's broadly the profile would be. And this will continue and would remain so for similar nature of businesses. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Chhabria from SBI Funds International IFSC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I actually wanted to get some sense of your D&B and furniture business and how much of them is actually captive in the sense that to your current landlords and typically the extent to which the company itself incurs capex and what portion is to outsider. Do you also service other than the landlords to outsiders as well in your D&B and furniture business?
Yes, sir. I mean, thank you very much for this question. And to give you an explanation, you know, obviously the design and build vertical has both these different types of contracts. One is the contracts which we carry out for the landlords who are giving our leasing vertical the space to, you know, kind of on a lease basis, right? That, like I explained to you, sir, that let's say if I'm adding about 25,000 seats, on an annual basis, then per seat generally my you know cost of development is on an average, if I may say, depending otherwise depending upon how the landlord and my client wants me to design. Otherwise, it is on an average about 50,000 rupee a seat, which is, you know, roughly if you look at in terms of total value, it works out to around 125 crore. Out of that, as I've explained to the other you know member earlier, that about 10% of which I generally spend for myself, obviously that doesn't get counted under my turnover. But so roughly around 100 crore of business is generally done with the landlord in a year who are giving us the furnished properties for leasing businesses. Okay, sir. But apart from that, we do extensive business with third parties. And that is a precise reason why we created this vertical and opened up this vertical for serving to third parties and leverage our strength and also create an additional revenue source and retain these margins which we are anyway otherwise able to retain through this segment. So today we serve to multiple clients which are catering to, which are belonging to different industries, starting from, let's say, an office infrastructure requirement client, research institutes, educational institutes, healthcare institutes, IT parks, So all different type of industrial sheds that we may need to develop. So all the different industries that we are able to cater to, because we have those skill sets, strength and internal team, including the team of engineers, designers, structural engineers, and who are able to, and MEP consultants, internal MEP consultants who are able to kind of deliver upon such large contracts. So the contracts which we have been announcing in the market, I've just explained earlier again that, you know, we've received a contract from a leading MNC company worth 183 crore rupees, which is not relating to anything relating to our leasing business, completely independent. We've recently received another contract worth about 60 crore from a large MNC organization. Then we are doing the passport seva kendras. So we've done the passport seva kendra in Ahmedabad in Bapunagar. We are presently doing two in Hyderabad. So, and then we've already worked for triple IITs for their research institutes. We have, you know, worked for Coforge for building their large office infrastructure, more than 100,000 square feet. We work for D.Y. Patil. We have worked for Godawar Group. So we have done businesses for various such customers on a DNB side, sir. And similarly, it happens for the furniture side also. So let's say...
In terms of quantification, 100 crores with the landlord. So ex-landlord to all these other companies, that would be how much in terms of the order book that you're likely to...
So if I have to bifurcate in terms of what I achieved in the last financial year, let's say I achieved a total business of around 250 crore rupees in last financial year, out of which, yeah, you know, about 100 odd crore could be allocable to those landlords. Balance 150 crore plus is allocable to my third party contract. This financial year, that will change substantially because the contract which I'm talking about, that is about more than 250 crore worth of contracts, are from this, those third parties who are no way connected to our existing verticals.
Got it. And margins are, same as for landlord as well as these third parties?
Like I explained, sir, just a while ago, that it depends on project to project. It doesn't really change.
Got it.
It is because, you know, even for landlord, for me, landlord is a third party only in a stricter sense. Because, you know, I'm doing this business, I'm doing the design and build for them as they as my principal, and I'm as a contractor. So, it's on that contractual terms only.
Sure. And if you could also slightly comment on, but those who have a very good June on June on a comparison basis, which actually if you see historically, June quarter is usually under pressure as you're comparing on a quarter on quarter basis for the last couple of years. If you could compare June with March on a sequential basis, there are higher expenses which has led to a drop in the profits only from a March to June basis. So would you be able to compare the March and the June numbers and probably comment on where you feel that higher expenses have gone or margins, what would be the impact on the margins on a sequential basis?
Sure. No, I think that's a very relevant question, and I think we also like all our investors to understand and appreciate that, because what happens is, you know, generally what during an end of a quarter, end of a financial year, let's say in the Q4, that is the time when we start planning and start, significantly start acquiring properties on a leasehold rights basis for the coming financial year. And then the quarter one and the quarter two are both these quarters where there is heavy development work is involved. So when I say heavy development work is involved, in a sense, because, you know, we also have to ensure that the most of our seats that we are planning to add during this financial year, during any financial year, we would like to get them built out at least in the first 6 months period. If we don't get them built out during the first 6 months period, then our ability to start generating revenue from them and get accounted for the in the books as in, realized revenue becomes very limited. And hence what happens is that, number one, the both these quarters are a little under pressure in terms of the expenditures, primarily because these sites are not fully operational, partially operational, so there are certain fixed expenses which are always there, and which basically kind of leads to little pressure to the on the profitability. But if you then look at it on a YOY basis, sir, then it averages out, because our ability to generate a little better margins between Q1, Q2, and Q3, Q4. And hence, you know, that the annual, on an annual level, it really averages out. But otherwise, Q1 generally, you know, has a bit of pressure. Q2 also faces the same, similar kind of thing. But Q through Q4 is on a progressive basis doing, generally do, does very good. You know, this financial year also, I mean, and you can also see it on the lead side, it's a very linear business. So, you know, if I once have expanded myself to a level, obviously it is not going to go down. But, you know, this financial year, we have been able to maintain a good top line in the Q1 primarily because of our additional verticals. You know, these verticals have started contributing substantially. So the top line that we have been able to maintain for Q1 is largely because of the orders that we have got in hand in the design and build segment. And that has really been able to maintain our top line to a level which is now, if you see year-on-year basis comparison, if you do of the similar quarter, that the, you know, there's more than 120% of increment in the top line.
Sure. One last question. You did mention about acquiring properties. So how would your capital structure change? Are you like planning to do something like a REIT structure wherein you get in equity investors under a particular SPV? Or are you planning to raise it in your own books and acquire those properties? And what would be the quantum of acquisition that you would have in mind?
So with regards to the acquisition strategy, it is pretty clear that as long as my balance sheet permits, I would certainly acquire the property on my books. With regards to my plans to acquire, so as of now, if you see, my debt equity ratio is even less than 1:2.5. So I do have a lot of leverage potential that I can take, and I am able to, you know, acquire properties on my books itself. Having said that, I mean, obviously our management, our MD has targets to kind of, you know, build our businesses around creating assets worth substantial value over the next couple of years. And to achieve such plans and achieve such, you know, business targets, certainly we will have to go beyond our books and start looking at different structures like REIT. And that's the reason why we have got the license for the REIT, SM REIT. And obviously we are looking at such other alternative structures where, you know, that at least we are able to kind of control those properties, manage those properties, increase our AUM going forward. With regards to, if you look at in terms of plans to acquire property for the current financial year, we are actively looking for properties subject to, you know, fitting into our business criteria, subject to fitting into our return, I mean, yield and ROI criteria. We are constantly looking out for properties in, you know, in certain specific cities, certain specific region. And I mean, you would have seen based on our, you know, based on our acquisition activities that we carried out last financial year, that we have gone ahead and acquired almost 3 properties. You know, we are constantly looking for this financial year as well, as long as it fits into our criteria, please.
All right. Sure. Thank you very much, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mrugank Anand, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good evening. So, hi. My question is, in the recent calls and announcements that we have seen, the design and build and furniture segment seems to have more in terms of orders. So can we expect this segment, these segments, to outperform the rentals business going forward?
I mean, listen, Rugank, I mean, like I've explained earlier, you know, both the segments, all the segments are, you know, really growing segments. There is significant amount of growth opportunities in both design and build segment and also in the furniture segment. If you see globally and also in the Indian market, the CAGR at which both these industries are going are upwards of 15%, 18%. And, you know, so naturally the growth opportunities are substantial, and we are getting, and we have been able to get good businesses. Having said that, you know, I would not like to, you know, kind of call it as outperforming any of my verticals. You know, at the end of the day, we are looking at realist, we are building this ecosystem. And whether we do business under a leasing vertical or under a DNB vertical or a furniture vertical, what we are really growing is our, we are really growing our ecosystem. We are really growing our entire offering, our solution. Whether it is met through one particular vertical or not, that's not relevant. And also additionally, as I've always maintained, that the leasing vertical is a pretty linear vertical in terms of growth. Unless I add more seats or I do inorganic route of business, that's the only way I can do some great amount of growth there. But otherwise, both the DNB and the furniture verticals has significant opportunity to grow, primarily because of the stage at which the industry in India, and also otherwise the nature of businesses this industry belong to.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And all the best.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, that time was last question, and we conclude the question and answer session. On behalf of EFC India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.